Welcome to Season 2 of Amplify, Stories of University Community Collaborations. I'm your host, Jennifer Siplett. Amplify is a production of CU Engage, the Center for Community-Based Learning and Research at CU Boulder, in partnership with Community Radio KGNU. The show aims to amplify the voices of students and community partners who are working together to generate new knowledge and ideas to tackle major public challenges. You can hear us on KGNU the fourth Wednesday of every month at 9 a.m., or access the show archives by visiting colorado.edu/CUEngage. On today's show, I'll be speaking with guests Diana Bustamante Aguilar, who is a fifth-year student at CU Boulder and studying to become a social studies teacher, and she is also an AKETSA instructor. I am also joined by two Colorado high school students who participated in the AKETSA program this last month at CU Boulder, Galilea Landa Posas, who is a sophomore at Colorado Academy, and Emily Pech Cruz, who is a junior at Boulder High School. Thank you all for being here to talk about the AKETSA program, which is a program of CU Engage, and welcome to the show. To begin, I wanted to give our listeners just a little bit of background about AKETSA before we dive in together. AKETSA was founded 6 years ago by a group of CU Boulder undergraduate students. Today, AKETSA provides a free 10-day summer residential program on the campus of CU Boulder for participating high school students who come from across the state of Colorado. And these are students who have strong ties to the Chicano and Latino communities in Colorado. This summer, in July of 2018, the AKETSA program provided 42 Colorado youth with an interactive academic enrichment experience that was focused on examining the history, literature, health science, and relevant social and political issues surrounding Chicano and Latino communities. AKETSA is rooted in a philosophy of education that understands that the youth participants who come from around Colorado to participate in the AKETSA program, that these youth are holders and producers of new and valuable knowledge themselves. And the program is designed with this idea at its core. So we're going to talk a little bit about that and how that impacts the program and how AKETSA is designed around that idea of youth being holders of knowledge. AKETSA also provides its high school participants with a chance to develop new skills and to grow and share their knowledge as they become leaders in their own communities. So, Deanna, I wanted to turn it to you. Can you just give us an overview of the summer, sort of what happened in July when the 42 students from around Colorado arrived at CU Boulder for the AKETSA program?
So when students first arrived, we had them come in, kind of check in, go to their rooms and meet their roommates. But we also had time for the parents to meet with one of our directors. So they met with Magnolia, and she gave them a run through of what the week was going to look like so that they could feel comfortable knowing that their students were going to be doing something worthwhile, and to also include them in the process. So we want students to be able to go back home and have somebody to talk to, and we want them to talk to their parents about what they experienced in AKETSA. And so by including their parents in the beginning stages of the week, right, the very first day, we're able to already kind of build that and have that seed planted within them, and also value the knowledge that they already hold. So taking a lot of what they know and just giving value to it, and really encouraging them to talk to their students about it and ask their students what they learned. And so we also do that. So at the end of the week, the students do a performance of research, a research project that they choose, and they choose how they're going to present it. And we invite families and community members to come and just view and see the students' projects. And so by having them involved in the beginning stages and then at the very end, they're also able to see the growth of their students and see what the students have been involved with or engaged with throughout the week.
And AKETSA used to be a 7-day program, is that right? And now it's 10. So can you talk a little about the difference of the 10-day program now that it's expanded?
Yeah, so this year we were fortunate enough to have the program be 10 days. And so with those extra days, quote unquote extra, right, we were able to take the students up to Chautauqua and talk to them about Los Seis de Boulder in a more in-depth and powerful way, showing them really where the students were when the car bombings happened. We were able to have movie screenings with them. We watched Symbols of Resistance, which is a film about Los Seis de Boulder and the Chicano movement in Colorado. And we were also able to do things like have community panels. So we had folks like Priscila Falcón come and talk to the students about her experience with the Chicano movement and moving forward to today.
So it sounds like students, when they arrive, and it's a residential program, so they're staying in the dorms.
Yeah.
And I would imagine for some students, I mean, there's students coming from all over the state of Colorado, that for some students, this is not only their first time in Boulder, but maybe their first time being on a college campus, or for sure, like, staying for 10 days overnight on a college campus and participating in a program. In a program like this. So Galilea, I'm wondering from your experience, how was it to participate in Aketza, to be part of this program as a high school student, and what was powerful about it for you this summer?
Yeah. So for me, this was a really, really unique experience. I had never really done a summer program like on a college campus, like you mentioned before. And so I didn't know what to expect. I was actually like pretty nervous to be away from home, especially like at this college campus, because my older sisters have been here and they've like told me a lot of stuff that happens here. So I was really nervous, but I was also excited because I knew it was going to be the first time in, well, I go to Colorado Academy and it's predominantly a white school. So I'm one of the few people of color there. And so I knew that it was going to be the first time in 4 years now that I was going to be in a classroom with people who look like me and students that look like me. So for me, that was something that was really empowering and impactful, because I was able to talk to people who were making a change in their communities, and they're older than me for the most part. And really just experiencing that was great. That was something that stood out. Also, just like the way that classes functioned in Aketza was way different from classrooms that I usually am in. So it wasn't as lectury as I thought it would be. It was a lot of like discussion based and a lot of your experience, right? Like in classrooms, when we talk about things going on in the world, we don't usually bring in our own life or experience into it. And in Aketza, it was like really welcoming. Like it was normal to mention your family or your mom or something like that. And it was just a really tight community. Even though it was like 40 of us, we got really close together.
Amazing. And did it feel that way for the students? Like, did you feel that bond for students that were from different parts of Colorado as well? Or were there sort of like clumps of students who made friends sort of based on their geographical location in Colorado? Or like, how did that work in terms of making friends within the group?
Well, I feel like people got closest with their kapulis. So those are like the groups that we're divided into, and we have counselors. And those are the people you mostly get close to, because that's the people you go to your classrooms with and sometimes have lunch with. So I feel like the geographical part didn't really come in as much. Like, I got really close to some people who live like in Estes Park, some people who live in Denver, like Pueblo. Like, there were people from all over. And it was really interesting, like, hearing their experience and what living up in those type of areas was like.
Great, thank you. And Emily, how was your experience? How was it for you coming into Aketza as a high school student and participating in this 10-day program?
It was a really good experience. I live here in Boulder, so I live like 10 minutes away from the CU campus, but I've never like experienced something like that. I've never like been away from home. Well, like I had, but not like at the campus. And I don't know, it was just really amazing. It was powerful, and like your voice was heard everywhere. And I don't know, it was amazing. Yeah.
Great. So for you, Emily, how was it for your family dropping you off at CU Boulder for 10 days? Like, since you're from Boulder, did it feel more comfortable for your parents? Like, one of the questions I always have is, how is this for parents? I myself am a parent, and I don't have a high school child yet, but I think about how it must be for parents to take their kids to campus and drop them off for 10 days and be like, bye, see you in 10 days. And you know, trust that everything's going to be okay. So how was that for your parents? Was it okay? Yeah. Maybe because they were closer, or how did that feel for them?
Yeah, I think it was okay, because like at any moment, if I needed something, they would be able to like go up there
And Galilea, how was that for you, for your parents?
I think my parents were more comfortable with it, just because my older sister went through this process too. And so they kind of knew what it was about already. And so they weren't as nervous.
And Deanna, as part of the sort of leadership team of Aketza, was that part of what the leadership team was dealing with? Like communication with families and letting families know, you know, what was happening with their children, with their teenagers during this time?
So we had parents go to an optional overview of the program itself. And so we did this so that they would be able to feel comfortable with their students staying on campus for so long. And also when the students were applying and we were calling them to tell them that they were accepted, we also asked to talk to their parents if possible. And so we feel that by including the parents and talking to them and giving them information, packets of information, right, when the students were accepted, we would be able to empower them and make them feel like they were as much a part of Akitsa as their students. And so we really see this all come to a culmination at the end of the week where parents were able to witness their students' work and also walk around and ask students about their work and their experiences. We had parents come up to us and share their own experiences with us, which is really empowering to see that although we are different generations, right, that these parents experience completely different times, the times are actually not so different and the experiences are not so different either. I think that them witnessing the students feel empowered and sharing their research projects was something really beautiful that was shared amongst all the people present at the final encuentro.
You've been listening to Amplify, Stories of University Community Collaborations. If you just joined us, we are in the studio today talking with three people from the Akitsa Summer Program. I am here in the studio with Diana Bustamante Aguilar, who is a fifth-year student at CU Boulder, and she's studying to become a social studies teacher and an Akitsa instructor. And I'm also joined here in the studio by two Colorado high school students who participated in the Akitsa Summer Program last month at CU Boulder, Galilea Landa Posas, who is a sophomore at Colorado Academy, and Emily Petch Cruz, who is a junior at Boulder High School. Thank you for tuning in to Amplify. So one question I have is about, I think on the last day you had like more than 200 people, so sort of families and community members come to hear the final presentations that all of the 42 high school youth Akitsa participants had been working on for the 10 days that they were in the program. And Galilea, can you tell me a little how that went, how that was to have sort of 200, you know, extended family members really? From the sort of Chicano Latino community in Colorado coming to hear these final presentations and what that experience was like on the last day.
Yeah, so it was beautiful, honestly, because I felt like at that moment, everything I had learned in Akitsa, it was in the end for our communities. So I was glad to be able to share that with our communities. And although my parents weren't able to go, some of my siblings were there. So, and really just like a lot of other people, and a lot of them were community members. They had stopped by at Akitsa throughout the week, so we had seen them before. And it was just really encouraging because it's in an environment where what you're speaking of, what you're presenting, other people have gone through and they can really relate. So you have people holding you up rather than, well, for me, like I talked about Marianismo in my final encuentro. And so that's not something I would talk about normally, like
in
my school.
Can you say more about what Marianismo is?
Oh, yeah. So Marianismo is like, it's like the gender like roles that women in Latino communities and families are usually held up to. So it's kind of like machismo, but for women, right? So it's like this belief that women are supposed to be at home, taking care of the children, cooking, stereotypes like that. And so I talked about that and how that's really relevant in our communities and how we have to change our view towards women in our family. And it was nerve-wracking because I knew that there'd likely be some pushback, especially from parents. But also I knew that there wouldn't be any other space where I could really do that. Like, I know I wouldn't feel comfortable doing that at my school or really just like in a normal everyday conversation. But at that moment, like, it was the right place to do it. And I really felt like what I said would matter and it would be taken into consideration. So it was really empowering.
And Emily, how about you? What was your final presentation about, and how did you feel it was received in this larger community on the last day?
All right. Well, we got like two different choices, I guess. Well, there was more than two choices, but I got to do the art part. So like during the break, people got to go walk around and like they would stand in front of your like art piece and ask you what it was about. I drew this piece with my roommate. And so it was just like this person like in the middle, like in white. And then the background was black, and then like just the story behind it was like Growing up, a lot of people ask you, like, are you, like, Mexican or are you, like, American, since we were born here but our parents are from there. And so we just got to find out, yeah, we learned about the terms over there. And I just, like, we just explained it. But besides that, I felt like a lot of people could relate because it's not really easy, like, knowing, like, from, yeah, which term to use, which is the correct term. And, yeah, a lot of people relate and, like, you couldn't be, like, shy because, like, people understood what you went through and things like that.
So can you tell us a little about the content? So, like, what did you explain about what it means to have been born here but from a Latino family who came from another country, from Mexico or from another place? What are the terms that you use, and what did you explain to people who asked about your art piece?
We learned about, like, the Chicano and the Chicano with the X, and then Latino and, like, the other terms. And
so can you explain to our listeners what those terms mean and what they are?
I don't know, like, growing up, what I knew was, like, I don't know, you, like, you look differently, but then you're still Mexican. That's how I got it, like, growing up. But then I saw that it was differently. It could be, like, both ways. Yeah, that, like, you're from there and from here. And Latino is just, like, describing, like, the way, like, from where you're coming from. Yeah, and growing up, I really didn't know what term to use.
So what term do you feel like you feel most comfortable using now?
Chicano and Latino.
Chicano and Latino. So both?
Yeah.
You would use both?
Both.
Yeah. As I've heard it explained, I think actually on the last show that we did about Aketza, Hassan explained for him, like, Chicano is this idea of growing up with roots in Latino or indigenous culture, but growing up in the United States, sort of like being, you know, like you said, you know, spanning two different cultures, spanning two different across borders, right? That your experience and your culture spans both what's happening in the U.S. because you've grown up here and are in U.S. schools and U.S. culture. In his case, for example, his family was fifth generation New Mexican, like, had been in New Mexico, like, before it was New Mexico. And then, you know, it was invaded and became the U.S. And so it's not even that his family was, you know, immigrated recently, but he identifies as Chicano. And so Chicano can be this term that sort of spans the experience of people growing up in the U.S., but of Latino heritage. And Latino is a maybe broader term, right, for people who are from different parts of Latin America and having that identity. So that's interesting to hear. Like, that was one of the things you explored in the Aketza program this summer, was, like, what those terms mean and what does the X mean? What's the controversy around the X? I know that especially for people my age in their 40s who are Latino or Latina, sometimes it's like there's some pushback about the Latinx or the Chicanx, right? Putting the X at the end of the word because it changes the Spanish language from being a gendered language, a romance language, to putting an X on it. So Deanna, I don't know if you do you know about that term and how the X gets understood?
Yeah, so I think using Chicanx, Latinx is definitely a pushback against gendered language. And we have a lot of people who don't identify with a gender or who identify as gender fluid. And so choosing Latino, Latina, Chicano, Chicana is really difficult and it isn't true to their identities. And so I think that the folks who decided to use Chicanx and Latinx were really pushing back against that very intentionally. And I think there is some difficulty with different generations. And I think that there's difficulty with understanding or incorporating the different language into everyday language because the most difficult type of change within the self. So ideologically, it's difficult to take something which you identify with so deeply and you connect to your culture, right? Because language is a vital part of our culture and how we engage with it and how we identify with it. And so if we're asking folks to change that, it's really difficult for some of us to do that, I think. And I think too, it has a definite like connection to other systems, right? Because when we're talking about a group of people, the way that language is in Spanish, it's always turned to the masculine form. So Latino, Chicano, right? When we talk about the Chicano movement, it's Chicano, focusing on the male or masculine form of the word. And so I think
in Spanish, O is male and A is female.
Yeah.
So it's like the gender binary is embedded in the entire language.
Yeah. And so how do we push back against that, right? So using the X definitely pushes back against not only gendered language, but also a gendered language that values masculinity. So we're pushing back against patriarchy, right? And some folks might have a hard time with that because they don't see it as clearly as other folks see it.
Almost in some ways, in the way, you know, in English, we used to say men, you know, like a country of men, or even in some of the language, you know, of the founding documents of the United States, it's all men, men, men. And the assumption is that that includes women, but really it doesn't.
Yeah.
So there's a similar thing happening now within the Latino community and younger generations. That makes sense. So we've already started talking a little bit about the larger social issues, just in terms of language and in terms of Marianismo, machismo, in terms of using terms like Chicano and Latino and what that means for high school students to learn about that terminology and identify that themselves. I know that Aketza also looks at broader structural issues affecting Chicano and Latino people in the context of living in the United States in the year 2018. And I'm wondering if you all can talk a little about that. What are some of the structural things that you learned about in Aketza, and how did that make sense to you in your own personal lives? Galilea, maybe I'll start with you with that question.
Okay. I feel like one class that really touched on that was Hasson's class, which was about structures and systems. And something that really stood out to me, every day we learned like about a different system. And there was a specific day that we learned about institutionalized racism. And so sort of what that means, it's like institutions that are basically built and like are meant to keep certain groups of underrepresented people down. And so for me, that was really impactful because I know I had heard about things like this before. Like, I have conversations about this with my older sisters. But I think that day we really went in depth and we talked about our personal experiences and really how that impacts us from day to day. So it was really critical, really helped me understand like the world I'm living in, right? That not everything is fair and not everything is just, and it won't always make sense.
And Emily, how about you? Was there any class that where you sort of had an aha moment about maybe the structures that are affecting your day-to-day life as a Chicana Latina person living in Boulder?
It was actually Diana's class. We got to learn, like, we talked about, like, our names and, like, how different people from different, like, white people would pronounce it differently. And that's right, like, if you don't like the way they're pronouncing it, you're allowed to explain them the way it's pronounced.
And so how did that make you feel to sort of learn that? Because your name, so Emily is a name that you, in English, could say Emily.
Yeah.
Right? And how would you pronounce it?
Emily.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And so have you felt since participating in Aketza, have you corrected anybody or said, could you please call me?
I think I will soon at school.
You will?
Yeah.
So you feel more sort of empowered to say, no, this is the way you need to say my name.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. And how, and what did you learn about, how does that relate to sort of larger structures or sort of standing up for yourself in a larger way, just in the context of the United States? Like, I feel like there is a link there to voice, to the broader question of who has voice and being able to say what you want and to define yourself in your own terms and within the United States. Is that one of the things that you learned about in any of your classes, maybe Diana's class or another class that you took?
Yeah, personally, I'm like shy. I don't care. Like, I won't speak up. But like after the program, like, I guess my shy is like gone away. I'm able to like tell you there's a lot of people that like they're bothered by it, but they won't speak up. And I feel like people do have like the right to speak up.
So, Diana, so when you and the other instructors were making decisions about your courses, what was the process of deciding what you were going to focus your curriculum on?
So throughout the spring semester, we had time to meet and do trainings around what the framework for Aketza was going to be like, making sure that we all understood and were involved in creating curriculum and creating the activities that we were going to have the students engage with. And so during that time, the instructors had time to meet and build curriculum. And so, for example, I met with Adan Garcia, who co-taught our story with me and the other instructors for systems and structures, researching our world, and Artivismo also met. And so we each, with our partner, created our curriculum, but also came together with the other instructors to make sure that we were creating a cohesive curriculum for the entire week. And so making sure that our frameworks matched up and aligned, and that our teaching styles were going to be following this pedagogy that honors the students' knowledge.
Yeah, and so so how did you decide on the social themes of what you were going to discuss?
So we actually didn't decide on specific themes. We built the framework to where conversations and themes would come up organically within the students. And we did that because we really wanted the students to be able to incorporate their own lived reality, right? We're asking students from across the state to come together and talk about their experiences and really analyze them and think about them in a broader context. And so when we're doing that, we can't assume that students are experiencing the same things. So we really tried to just build a framework where students would be able to bring in their own experiences and feel comfortable analyzing that within their groups. And so some of the things that came up for my class, or the class that I taught, were probably not the same things that came up for other classes. So, for example, some of the students talked about immigration and how immigration has been a large national topic or topic of great debate, right? And so something else that I noticed that kind of was true for all of the Kalpulis, all the groups that came, was that we talked about education and what we wanted our education to look like and how we could take ownership of that.
Yeah, so the students that you had in your group were sort of, you know, coming from their experience in schools and talking about their identities and those issues were of importance to them. And then you were able to take those issues and weave them into the curriculum that you all had structured.
Yeah.
Is that kind of how that worked?
Yeah, and it's pretty difficult, right? So I'm in the teacher licensure program right now. And I think something that...
At CU Boulder,
mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I think it's really difficult to not plan for, like, okay, we're going to spend 10 minutes doing this, and then this is going to lead into 15 minutes of this activity, and then 10 minutes of this other activity. It was really hard, I think, for me, after a year of kind of planning for things, to let go of a lot of that and allow for organic conversation and allow for a flow of conversations and topics that the students chose. And learning how to strategically weave that back into conversations that were allowing them to analyze the world as we are experiencing it was something that was difficult and I think really challenging to do given the framework that I think schools often use.
And it goes back to what we were talking about at the beginning of the show, this idea that Aketsa is sort of based on, which is that all of the high school youth that come to Aketsa come with their own knowledge, and they are holders of knowledge. They have experiences that are valuable, that give them knowledge that a lot of other people maybe don't have. And so how do we, you know, as educators, mine that knowledge and bring it out and then analyze it, put it in the light and analyze it and give it some structure and give it some context so that then students can understand their experience in a different way. And it seems like that is really the pedagogy or the curriculum design that all of you did in the summer program, which was very powerful. Thank you so much for being here. I'd like to thank all three of you. It's been a real pleasure. For people who want to learn more about the Aketsa program, you can go to the CU Engage homepage. We will link to it, which is www.colorado.edu/CU Engage. And there will be a link to the Aketsa program, which is a program of CU Engage, to learn more about it and to apply if you're interested next spring for the summer of 2019, which will be the next time Aketsa has its summer program. You've been listening to Amplify, Stories of University Community Collaborations, a production of CU Engage at the University of Colorado Boulder in partnership with Community Radio KGNU. You can hear us on the fourth Wednesday of every month at 9 a.m., or find us on iTunes or wherever else you listen to your podcasts by searching CU Engage Amplify. If you like our show, we invite you to share it on Facebook, Twitter, and wherever else you feel like sharing. Please leave us a review too so that more people will be able to discover the show. Thanks so much for listening, and we hope you'll tune in again next month. Thank you.